Quiet on the set, please. I'm talent.
Don't forget, I'm drooling.
Okay. Is JFK still dead? Oh, pardon me, we're shooting something. Hello, I'm Drew Lane talking into this fake mic to tell you how dangerous bullshit news is for your health. Listen to Charlie LaDuff, the No Bullshit News Hour. Wait, can we do that again? I'll beat it. That's why I take my glasses off like crackhead.
No bullshit. No bullshit.
This just did breaking news. No more bullshit. No more bullshit.
No bullshit.
Na-na-na-na-na. No bullshit!
No bullshit.
What happened to that? Something I changed in audio.
Something always gets changed.
Something always in this show.
Change
Welcome
is
back.
Good.
Yeah, change is always good. Welcome back. No Bullshit News Hour. Listen, real special guest today, Flint City Councilman Eric Mays. How you doing, brother?
Hey, good to be here, Charlie.
You sure?
I've seen you in a little while. I don't know if it's good to see you. No bullshit. No bullshit.
Give me that one again. No
bullshit. No bullshit. Good to see you.
You too, brother. Okay, so it was sort of really big news in Flint in the last couple of weeks, and a documentary came out on Frontline. We're gonna do that, but I think first we got to get to the week's news. There's a lot of stuff happening. Just jump in if you want to talk about it, Eric. Mannequin Joe's in. Hi, Karen. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Charlie.
All right, listen. 9/11 anniversary this week, which...
Wow.
Yeah.
18 years.
Wow.
I remember it was like it was yesterday, you know? And
I do, too.
Yeah. You know, I was watching you on Let It Rip, Karen. I was like, where was everybody? And, you know, somebody's in California and somebody's on an elevator somewhere, and I'm watching the fucking building fall. And I was, you know, just looking on social media. And I've never told this. I won't say the guy's name. You can look it up. You can Google Ground Zero severed hand and look for the image. And it was day two, maybe three, and we're walking around, and I got a badge on, like the security from the New York Times security desk. But if you had a badge, you could walk around. So I didn't want to misrepresent, so I got a New York Times security guard badge on. And it's a photographer from one of the newspapers. He goes, "Hey, LaDuff." I walk over. And there's a traffic cone, and he lifts up the traffic cone, and there's a severed hand laying there. I go, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I'm saying? What are you waiting for the golden hour of light so it hits it just right? And in fact, that's what I think he was doing. And then the thing showed up in the paper. It showed up in an art gallery, and it really just, I saw it again, and it's you know, so like, that was then, where were you doesn't matter. It's like, where are we?
That's
where,
true.
Yeah.
Where have we gone? So, this week, remember last week, some lunatic at Lafayette Coney Island threw a brick through there, and he had a box cutter, and there's no police, and the feds are sitting on the guy, and they can't get the police. Well, I work at American Coney Island with a former combat Marine. He did a tour in Iraq and Afghanistan. Didn't even get a paper cut. But it's late night there. It's out on the city street, and this doped-out dude from the suburbs is, like, harassing these women, and he steps in because chivalry's not dead. But what did he get for his gesture?
I get charged with assault.
He took a shank to the chest.
Oh, wow.
There's no police down there. But by a miracle...
And this is right downtown.
This is
well,
downtown.
There were some the other day that I was sitting out front of the shoe shop next door. And this female police officer is at the corner. She's blocking traffic, and she has her lights on. She walks all the way back, which is like a quarter of a block. And she comes up to the window, and she's, "Hey, is there something I can help you with?" I said, "No." She says, "Well, this is a lane for traffic." It's like, "I'm in a car." I understand. But I'm thinking, like, okay, you're doing, and there were like four police cars that were going to American Coney Island, but I'm saying they, she, that was another story, but they're there when, maybe not necessarily at the opportune time, but.
I never see them.
I'm there at lunchtime.
I'm in at lunchtime. Yeah. She comes down to tell me, I said, I'm waiting for them to bring, my, you know, you want to help me out, go get my shoes. I'm waiting for them to bring my shoes out if you want to help.
Karen's shoes, don't get in the middle of Karen in her shoes.
I'm just saying, like, there's no place to park downtown. You
well,
know?
That's I don't want, look, here's what I'm trying to say, is there's no police.
Right.
So, you know what, they flagged one down, and yeah, God bless cops that do the job, right? And they toss him with a knife wound, a 16th of an inch from his ventricle.
Oh, wow.
Pumps the blood, right? They throw him in a squad car, which is culture that nobody knows about. The police do not wait for ambulances. They're conditioned not to wait.
They know better.
And the doctor's like, you probably saved his life.
Wow.
And so what does my friend learn? That the war goes on at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I did some looking. The year of the bankruptcy, when we cut public safety by 10%, you were there, Karen, the yes. very hard decision you had to make. When you add in inflation, we're spending $50 million less a year on public safety.
Wow.
So what are we doing? Who, you know, call me what you want. Call me toxic. Call me a downer. Call me a bitch or a complainer. Call me I got it out for the chief or the mayor. I don't. I you know, I love everybody. This it's fucking unacceptable.
Well, we got the same problems in Flint, Charlie, as it relates to a lack of patrol officers. But what I found, even though we have a lack of patrol officers in the city of Flint, we also have a lack of detectives. So last we looked, we had over 10,000 complaints piled up and backlogged in a city.
What?
So if y'all got that going on in Detroit, I could imagine when you do the analogy. And so I looked at 9/11 and the big incidents that happened, and I listened to you talk about the small isolated ones, and I guess we'll continue to talk about it, but it's not just isolated to Detroit, and I bet you Flint.
That's right.
I think you're right. I don't think it's isolated to Detroit and Flint.
But why isn't public safety a priority? And the people who deliver public safety, why isn't... I mean, public safety and education are known to be two, you know, pillars of any strong community.
Thank you.
Why wouldn't we not make that investment? It wasn't part of the grand bargain. Okay. And it hasn't been adjusted since.
In our budget year that just happened 3-4 weeks ago, I put a motion to move $2 million for police. And it failed. We got 9 council people. It failed. 5 no and 4 yes. I put a similar motion to move $1.7 million for fire, and it passed 6 yes and 3 no. I thought the police was more important than necessary.
What's the difference? They're both first responders. They're both public safety.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, I think what Eric's saying is there's a, you know, a greater need, considering there's 10,000 cases piled up in one of America's most violent cities. Yeah. We need to fund it a little bit better, right?
Do you lobby your colleagues, sir?
I fuss and cuss with my colleagues. Watch our meetings. No bullshit. I fuss and cuss with them.
Oh, yeah. We're going to play a little clip later on. Here's the thing. So, listen, folks. This comeback you're hearing. Right? When you look at those budgets, and I do that for you, here's what you must know. The year that we underfunded public safety, right? You know, it's $50 million less, but we didn't spend $50 million that was budgeted for it, right? Why? Because the estimated revenue that the city was anticipating getting from taxes of all sorts, they misjudged it by $127 million. So you had to take $50 million out of public safety, take some out of, you know, salaries and what have you. The point being, if you really think it's back and we're cranking money out, it's not. Which brings me to the next one. What'd we tell you here a month and a half, 2 months ago?
Cranes are stalling.
Cranes are stalling.
Not building it.
I don't know if they're not. I'm not building the Gilbert Hudson skyscraper. I don't know if they're not building it. They might put a gas station in there with a turret. I don't know. But they're not building Michigan's largest
skyscraper. Yeah.
He never got the financing, which we told you here. There was a very excellent story in the Detroit Free Press, right? I think Jennifer Dixon wrote it. And she actually got the document. So what did Gilbert get the last bit of development property left, as Duggan called it? What did he get it for? You think they'd be very expensive. He got it for a buck.
Yeah, it was a song.
Wow.
He got $250 million cash that we borrowed, right? Plus all the sweeteners once the thing's built. That $250 million over 35 years with interest, we pay $1.5 million a month for 35 years. Exactly what Mr. Mays wanted for the police in Flint. And get that for you in a month from an open fucking hole that we're not going to build the biggest skyscraper in Michigan that we didn't need. Now they say this. It's the construction costs. Or, you know,
is it the dirt again?
Everybody's
yeah,
building.
The dirt.
It's the construction cost. Okay, let's see. The construction costs are high. You don't have people that want to, you know,
put money up to rent it or buy units ahead of time, right?
Yeah,
right?
You didn't get the financing. That's a classic bubble, mm-hmm. right? Construction guys are working, but there's no demand for what you're doing. It's called the bubble. Now you're watching. Well, they got rid of all their casino employees, right? Jack Casinos, that's his. They're in this. Here it comes.
Bubbles burst.
They do. Beware. Be smart.
Always.
We want
burst.
Police. I want to be safe when I'm working out there.
You deserve that. People that live, work, and visit here deserve that.
100%.
Absolutely do.
I asked the council people in Flint, I said, now what if you dial 911 and you need one? I mean, why would you vote no when we can simply vote yes? On the average, our new police officers run, we always say, about 50,000 or so per officer, and then you double it with the fringes and benefits, so about 100,000 an officer. So every million gets you 10 officers. I wanted about 21 officers, 2 million or so, so we could put 7 additional cars on the street. 3 different shifts, you know, 3 times mm-hmm. 7, 21. And so you might find in Flint that you wait hours for police when you dial 911. You might call at 3 in the afternoon and they call you at 3 a.m. in the morning and or show up the next morning. So I know 100% there's a need to spend money. Public safety should be one of your number one priorities.
Do you get put on hold when you call 911?
We do have a recorded.
Wow.
Are your police
that puts you on hold?
Is your police station, your headquarters, still closed on the weekends?
The emergency manager sold our 911. We used to control our 911, but that was part of the reorganization. They sold 911 to the county. They sold the court system. We used to have a executive legislative and judicial branch. Now we only got the executive and legislative. They sold our garbage truck. So, you know, Lil Flint That's been brilliant. Devastating. So we trying to get back into real democracy and government. So bear with us.
Yeah, Flint is like Detroit North. It's like it's just the brother neighborhood.
What do your constituents talk about? Tell you about. I'm sure they call and complain. Like, I can't get a cop. I call and I'm on the phone for hours.
A three-way call with the police chief's cell number, and I've effectively, in some cases, when I can get the chief, he can order a spare car that he can find.
You know, what's funny is like when the asshole threw nutcase threw the shit through Lafayette's window. We had to call a sergeant we knew. He had to have a cell phone. Because, you know, we got federal agents sitting on a lunatic and nobody's showing up. But let me make the point. They promised to do better, beef up the presence in all of downtown, all of it, right? Because I know the neighborhoods get screwed. But if you can't even effectively patrol where the crowds congregate, you don't have anything.
But, Charlie, this is the second time that something like that has happened when a civilian has had to intervene, you being that civilian the last time.
Yeah.
You remember when
I had to sit on the run the mugger down and lay on him in the middle of Michigan Avenue during a lunch rush?
And how long did you wait?
20 minutes.
It was like 20 minutes.
And I saw that guy the other day, the Fed. Another Fed walks
I thought
up.
You meant
we were laughing. We were laughing about it because it's still going on.
And it's not funny.
I was holding the mugger down. I couldn't look up, but this guy bends down, and he's got these ligatures, like handcuffs made out of shoelaces, like slip knots. And I remember I'm sitting on this guy, and he's fucking with the shoelaces, and I'm thinking to myself, where'd he get the fucking shoelaces? He's wearing loafers.
His loafers. Shoe shop next door.
Jesus. Okay.
Wow.
Here's something. Next one. Well, Whitmer's road plan went down in flames.
Huge.
She didn't see your tweet, Charlie? You had it all figured out.
Did have it. You know what? And some road experts got a hold of me and go, this isn't unreasonable.
Yeah.
But again, it's bad politics. Madam, I know somebody employed by you is listening. Stop blaming Republicans. That's Eric Mays's continual phone. This thing's glued to his ear. You got to stop making excuses. You can't come out and just say you're going to tax working people out the ass.
It's not
going
to work.
Right? You can't blame Republicans for going off on vacation. The budget's due. Because she didn't even have the Democrats lined up for a 45 cent a gallon.
No way. Yeah, there was no Democrats.
It
just,
it seemed premature when she came out. Like, it wasn't well thought out. You know, didn't, in my opinion, look at what all the alternatives or options were. And again, to me, that's a reflection of the people you have around you. If they let you come out and say something as elementary as that, and it wasn't well thought out. And I think that's why I got shot down. It's like, okay, this is a first automatic. That's what you would expect a non-elected official or a non-public servant to come up with.
A novice.
Just just automatically, okay, we're going to do this. No, that doesn't work. What else is there? And then when I heard her kind of trivialize the estimated $45 million that could be allocated for funding, for road funding, from the marijuana sales, you know, she's like, oh, but that's nothing. Okay, well, that's $45
million.
You can add that to the pot, you know? I mean, I don't know. It just didn't seem very well thought out.
Yeah, these, you know, take the pencil out. You know what I mean? Take the pencil out. Mr. Mays.
Well, take the blinders off. You're not getting 45 cents a gallon.
Yeah, and then to come out in a debate with Schuette and say it's ridiculous that you're going to jack up gasoline 20 cents.
Right.
That's just a naked lie. That's Bush League. I think you learn it, madam. But, you know, you don't even have your own caucus together.
Well, like I said, I think people, that's a reflection of the people that she has around her. I mean, you got to have people around you that are going to tell you this does not sound good, this does not work, and here are your viable alternatives.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, you know, one of those people who's like, I'm not, no more taxes. I'm not paying anything. If you want stuff.
Yeah, and that's fine.
You got to pay for it.
When you, go to other cities with higher taxes, you're getting something back, and I don't think people mind. But to constantly pay taxes and you're not getting anything, that's, that no.
Then people are not going to go for that.
Your tax payment should be commensurate with the services that you get. They're not.
Let's face it. We pay a good amount of tax in this state. Let's just do it again. Your power grid, your schools,
your roads.
Your water, your police. Where is it? So, for, you know, forgive us. We have to keep on these things because things have gotten so soft. Things have gotten so... there was a news story the other night about how it's very inconvenient at a Starbucks because they closed the inside for a while, remodeling or something. And so you have to get in line with your car. And this is a nightly news story. Like the your inconvenience at Starbucks. Like, that's not what we want.
Gee, Charlie, you know, got to be a barista walking out to the curb. Come on.
Got to get
tough.
My Frappuccino on.
Get that's it tough. On. Well, the UAW again.
Oh, boy.
According to Rob Snell of the Detroit News, United Auto Workers President Gary Jones is an unnamed union official accused in a federal criminal case Thursday in Missouri now, right? Region 5.
Yep.
Of helping orchestrate a years-long conspiracy that involved embezzling members' dues and spending the money on personal luxuries, getaways, golfing in Palm Springs. In the criminal case, federal authorities identified four current and former senior officials as complicit in the embezzlement scheme. The government did not use their names, but used labels to identify the union leaders, including UAW official A, B, etc. They filed false expense reports. Snell knows everybody. I talked to him this morning. Official A is Jones. Official B is former President Dennis Williams.
Oh, gee, Charlie.
Well, I mean, we're in the middle of contract negotiations. They could strike as early as the morning that this show gets put out. It's Friday. It could become a Sunday. I called my brother. I called guys I know on the floor. They don't even know what they're negotiating, what the union's negotiating for them. It's so piss poor. Another UAW is a form of government, and that's an institution in this country.
They got all the people coming into Detroit Sunday, Charlie. The president's chairs, they meeting here in Detroit Sunday, and I guess they'll give them some marching orders of direction. So that's going to be an interesting meeting day after tomorrow to kind of say what direction they're going to go with in negotiations.
It's insane because, I mean,
they have no credibility.
The auto industry is changing. Emission standards are changing. The global economy is changing. Silicon Valley's deeply involved in it. They want guarantees. The economy's softening. There were big profits. They got profit share. Now they want to wage.
And they're ripping off their members.
I was a union official. I was elected recording secretary, committee man, GM, UAW. I was from Flint to Ohio to Pontiac to Saginaw. And I remember I'm tripping because I'm saying they were spending $6 million or so for jackets and what-me-nots and watches and people that I knew. I know these guys, Mike Grimes and Norwood. You know, I said people was getting $300,000, $500,000. They wasn't just getting $10,000. If this is true, it's really embarrassing because it was going on during negotiations and it appear people could have been compromised. So what's going on here and how's it going to turn out?
But that's a structure that needs to be reevaluated. In the city, there was a union official that had a city job but was also a union representative. They were getting paid for two jobs and never showed up for the city job, but that was part of the union. I mean, that whole union thing is crazy.
Yeah, but in some ways, you know, like, you're a union representative. Let's say you're a police officer.
Okay.
Or, you know, you're a UAW union rep. They don't want you. That's, you know, it's negotiated to keep you out of the job. They don't want you in the department or on the factory floor agitating. So it's sort of been arrived at over the many decades.
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking city government. You're pulling two checks and you never show up to your city job? I didn't get that.
Well, get it this way. When you look at the power and the political might that the UAW can wield when it comes to elected officials, I don't see why you're not getting it. In Flint, which is microscopic compared to big Detroit and other cities, we can see microscopically why certain folks get favor because they delivers that membership for the vote. Mm.
Is that influence still there, though?
It's not as large as it used to be. We went from 80,000 workers to about 8,000 when plants were tore down and closed. But back in the day, yeah, when the union came to city council meeting and spoke, things happened. They try to speak up now, but the numbers ain't the same, and they done let the state of Michigan slip away to a right-to-work state.
See, that's a really good analogy, man, because when it's 80,000 jobs, and, you know, corruption's been going on forever in this state of ours, right? But there's so much money, you can wallpaper over the maggots. When it's down to 8,000, you start to see the larvae turn into flies, but they're still feasting.
They're still doing it,
What's ever left. There's nothing fucking left.
Well, they're eating at the carcass.
When are we going to grow up? When are we going to start coming up with lame brain schemes to create a water system? It was just to get money. It was to turn water into cash. And it fucked up. It's bullshit. Am I right, Eric? Can I get an amen?
Amen and double amen. It was a fight to control the water. Water is money. It was construction contracts involved that was being let. And can you imagine an emergency manager and the governor and them trying to keep me from talking and issuing orders? So it was just so much control and decisions being made that they thought they could get through this thing without putting corrosion control and didn't have the proper pumps in the plant to pump it in.
Wait, watch that right there, because you know what? We're going to get to the death portion of this. But I did some check. I'm always on the phone. I'm always calling them. I'm reading. Here's why they didn't make it sound like this. This is how the media did it. They didn't want to spend $100 a week for the chemicals, for the phosphates to make the stuff grow. That's not what it was. They had no ability to put them in the water because that fucking treatment plant is 50 years old. They didn't do that then. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So
they, they had no ability. Yeah,
what are you going to do? Like sacks of lime and, you know, phosphate, and you're just going to pour it in the tank? There's right, Eric?
They didn't even try to do that.
Yeah. Oh, they didn't even have a filter. Like
fucking sin.
You know, like a carbon filter, like, you know, a Mannequin Joe, you go camping. I'm sure you carry that big bucket of water around all the time. And you pour it through a paper sock. You know what I mean? Or how you make your coffee with the filter, right? You strain the coffee, grinds out, and have it. They didn't have one of those.
And, Charlie, at the same time, they was neglecting to treat it properly. It's like not putting eggs, sugar, and flour in a cake. You got to put the right ingredients. But at the same time, they wasn't making the decisions on purpose, intentionally, to bypass and not treat it properly. They were issuing fraudulent administrative consent orders. Ooh. To put on the bond market to tie us up in $100 million construction deal that folks should be going to jail for now.
You hearing that, Dana? You hearing that, Ms. Nessel? Yes. Basically, they concocted an environmental emergency, a little sludge pit, cost $10,000 to clean up, to borrow $100 million, and they didn't put it towards the sludge pit. They put it through a construction project, which can be interpreted as securities fraud, financial fraud, false pretenses, and
we
statute of limitations. I looked it up when those bonds got signed. That's April, bro. 6 years, it'll be April, and everybody that put that together gets off scot-free.
Well, they just,
way to go, Dana.
They just introduced the bill in Lansing to extend the statute of limitations in areas. So, well, I'm an elected official. I don't know if I need it extended. But my point is this. Now, I'm just kidding. But my point is this. If you see the fraud and you can get out of that $100 million bond. We done paid for, and we continue to pay $7 million a year for the next 28 years.
You don't pay
and,
that.
Yes. And
I pay that.
I'm here to tell you, well, you can be confused because y'all giving us a discount, but if we miss payment,
right.
I bet you y'all going to take over our account.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah.
So my position is this. We got to prosecute. We got to get this stuff straightened out because they done tried to bamboozle Flint for control of water. How can we pay for something that y'all own, Charlie?
Well, 100%. No, like, we're all together here. We the people don't own shit. All I know is you get a discount, right? You get the water, but you get it discounted, meaning you get $13 million of water for $6 million, and everybody using the water, Great Lakes water, which is, hello, everybody listening, we all pay. But what happens when you purchase a bond, right? I'm going to loan Flint money. Flint's going to give it back to me with interest. If Flint goes belly up, then the guy that loaned the money's supposed to lose. But why didn't the guy that owned the money lose? Why did I lose?
And I know people confused, but to make a long story short, y'all own two pipelines that we paying for one. We don't control nothing. People done committed deceit and fraud, and we still trying to decide when and who we prosecute.
Damn, and if we're going to at all. Okay, next one, last one. Three teens, a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 17-year-old were arrested for basically, you know, kids out of Detroit going into Dearborn, doing some wilding, purse snatching, robbery, shot a woman in a car, killed her. And I'd like to extend my condolences to her family. That's shocking, and it's horrible, and it's everybody's fear. And it's, I don't even know what to say. But as an old school reporter, here's where I would go as a newspaper guy. This is what I was known for in New York. I'm reading about the rap sheet of the 14-year-old kid. He was arrested for shoplifting at the Dearborn Walmart. And you know what he was shoplifting?
What?
Underpants. What does it tell you about that 14-year-old's life?
He's desperate.
He's not shoplifting video games or chocolate.
It's survival.
This is when you start whipping people off and there's no police and the schools are shit. A woman's dead. And no excuse.
Right.
No excuse. But this kid is not going to prison for the rest of his life. He's going to juvenile prison until he's 18, 21 maybe. And what are we going to teach him there? And what's he coming back to?
He'll be a better criminal when he gets out.
But those are the factors that people don't take into consideration. When they talk about poverty, when they talk about crime, they don't look at the contributing factors. I mean, they don't. And to me, that's why there's never any real progress made. I mean, people make money off of people not knowing. And, you know, they don't know what that kid's life is. They don't know what you think about the guy that robbed a bank in Oakland County several years ago and they gave him a job. They said, oh, he was robbing the bank for his family. Okay, well, what about everybody else? What do you think they're robbing for? Because they don't have anything else to do? I mean, look at it.
Yeah.
But they gave him a job. This white guy in Oakland County.
It's a catch-22. Seems like you're saying we have to be compassionate, but then everybody hurting, and some of us just don't take life and do certain things.
That's true. And I don't think it's compassion, and I don't think there's ever an excuse for hurting someone or taking their life. I don't. But I do believe that people that are responsible for addressing social issues, they can't be afraid of the people that they're supposed to help. They have to know what that person's life is like.
I agree.
I mean, they have to know, you know, that they're struggling for underwear or struggling.
We have to know.
Yeah.
That's the politics of all of us have to know we're connected. Right. And the 8 mile doesn't last forever. And a 13-year-old doesn't respect Telegraph or Joy Road. Like, we're together. This woman's on her way to mosque. Mm-hmm. Right. Celebrating a high holy holiday. Nice lady. Just waiting in a car. Boom.
No excuse.
Boom. Like, I keep saying it. My 12-year-old is, you know, you brought your friend with you, right? What's his name?
Ronnie.
Ronnie, you know, he's at 7 in State Fair about. That's, you know, where he had his home. And he goes, it's really changed. And I said, and you're only 2 miles from it, dude. It's not a foreign planet. You're 2 miles from it.
But the same issues there are everywhere.
Yes.
They're everywhere. I mean, everybody says, oh, I never thought that would happen here. Well, that's your fault because it can happen here. It happens everywhere.
We had a situation in Flint where it had been a shooting. A young person, 17, 18, had got shot and killed. The grandmother and the grandfather went to the hospital because they knew of the shooting. The person had died on the way home. Some other youngsters, 17, 16, whatever, had stole a car, was in a police chase, hit the grandmother and grandfather, and now the grandmother is dead. And so tragedy with young folks doing stuff, you're right, can happen any and everywhere, and every little description of the tragedy is similar. Somebody doing some mischief and somebody end up dead.
Mm. Now, listen, let me make this clear. Downtown, the main arteries of Michigan and Lafayette, the heart of Detroit, now there's lots of police. Now it's going to be the safest place in southeastern Michigan, right? So let me tell you that not only that, but our sponsor, American Coney Island. Don't take my word for it. I talk about it every week. Let me read to you from the Jewish News this week. From Danny Raskin. Danny, the headline here is, Detroit can boast about a true original, an American Coney Island franchise passed down over generations with over 100 years of history. Says I, quoting from the article, America's greatest and longest-standing true Coney Island operation. It says, American Coney Island has its own secret family recipes, along with owning its own chili company. Even the hot dog is different from the others, a proprietary dog made exclusively for American Coney Island, which also uses a secret family recipe for its gyro sauce. I'll go on. The fact that American Coney Island continues to be among Detroit's tastiest dining spots is a lone tribute in itself. Even the beef has its own distinction. It is gently stirred in a large pot with a hush-hush ancient Greek spice, not flopped on a greasy grill, and in so many cases, also deliciously by itself on the hot dog bun. The loose burgers are among the best sellers, along with the Greek salads, chili fries, gyros, Coney Island hot dogs, and its own rice pudding is made by American Coney on its own premises, plus the special tzatziki sauce for the gyros. So, how about that?
I'm hungry now.
Right. Yeah, right?
We'll all go down there.
You can have some Coney cases sent to you, sir. You know?
Right here, right now.
Well, not this minute. I'd probably do DoorDash.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, could
but,
do that.
I mean, while you're in Flint, you know, send
yeah, if you want some American Coney Island, go to AmericanConeyIsland.com. They have, what do you call them? Coney kits. They'll ship them right to your door, Eric. going to send
right,
you
one. What a commercial. What a
ADR commercial. Consultants, providing full business construction management and IT consulting services for your company, municipality, and law enforcement agency. ADR, experienced overseeing more than $250 million in private and public construction projects since 2001. Need to reduce costs? Need to re-engineer processes or find better vendors up there in Flint? ADR, Mr. Mays.
ADR.
They've saved clients millions, not taken millions like what's going on in Flint. You need to get it straight? Call ADR Consultants. They're experts in procurement, compliance, and minority participation. It's important to you, I know. Honest, ethical, smart. Call Barry Ellentuck. Write this down.
Barry Ellentuck.
Yeah, say that
ADR.
Again.
Barry Ellentuck.
No bullshit.
Give Barry a call.
248-318-9424 for a consultation. Get the job right on time, on budget. ADR Consultants. 248. Go ahead. We do it. Yeah, we're going to do an echo. Me and in the stylings of Eric Mays. Okay, ready, Eric? 248.
248.
318.
318.
318.
9424.
9424.
Well done, sir. Okay, you know what, Mr. Mays? Perfect. Maybe you're a big-time city official who can travel with your entourage on the city's dime. Did you?
Not yet.
Okay. Maybe you can hook up your maybe you can hook up your girlfriend with government contracts.
Let's find a girlfriend. I'm open. I'm
don't
open.
Say that.
I'm open.
What if you're not among the elite who can make your pals' pockets fat off the taxpayers' back? You're going to have to provide for your own retirement. And there's Eric. If you have questions whether you're on the right track, call financial specialist, personal friend of mine, best at what he does, Luke Nowacki.
Luke
Nowacki.
Nowacki. Financial
Whiz.
Consultant expert. He can have me ready for retirement.
That's it. 248.
The right way.
248.
663.
663.
4748.
4748.
Grow your assets from pension planning to college saving plans. Your politicians are dependent on you. Luke Nowacki, 248.
248.
663.
663.
4748.
4748. Luke.
Call him.
Nice. Here, read this disclaimer down here.
The disclaimer, fast as I can. Yeah. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Member FINRA/SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associate, Inc. If I had went faster, I'd have really messed up.
That was a fine job, sir. Fine job.
I have to get an endorsement fee in a minute.
Hall Financial offers lower rates, better options, and that personal attention you want when talking about your home. The average refi takes 44 days, which is, you know, about the amount of time they stuck you in the can, wasn't it?
Yeah, do they refinance them in Flint? My house is free and clear.
Oh, get ready here. It can be done in 19 days at Hall. Ready?
Oh.
Do the math. Half the time. Email D. Hall.
D. Who?
D. Hall.
D. Hall.
At hallfg.com.
At Hall.
FG.
FG.com.
.com.
Get the paper moving or call 248-308-5000. You want to take equity out of your home?
Yeah, anything I can get is paid for.
So you don't need to shorten the length of your mortgage?
I don't have a mortgage. I want to shorten the length of the payments if I borrow $10,000, $20,000, $30,000.
There you go. You could be less than 3 weeks away from getting some money from your house, Eric, with Hall Financial.
I'm excited.
D-Hall at hallfg.com.
G-Hall.
D-Hall, like David
D-Hall.
Hall.
D-Hall. I want to get this right. D-Hall.
At Hall FG.
At Hall.
Financial Group. Hall FG.
FG.
.com.
.com.
Or call 248-308-5000.
248-308-5000.
5000.
Tell
them you heard it on No BS News.
Money.
Yeah.
No bullshit news.
Do it again. Boo.
No bullshit news.
That's good. Sounds like a drop to me,
Jeff. Yeah,
and them some good information advertisements. If I get some of the money or something, I'm going to be okay on my second mortgage.
Well, that's what you do. You call Hall Financial. That's exactly what he does. NMLS number 1467435, Hall Financial. You won't be disappointed. You like football?
I love football.
Okay, if you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking?
I would pick it up and then keep walking.
Right? Okay, then.
Smart man.
So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them, Eric? My bookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Right?
Okay.
Where you bet is just as important as who you bet on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, and you do a little bit.
And I can
always
bet,
on the Lions.
I can bet legitimately?
Yes. Bet with my bookie. Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff?
No.
Did you know if by the second half it looks like your bet's going to lose, you can take the other side?
No.
Well, if you're that kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay.
I can only afford to bet a little and I need to win a lot.
Man. So if all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year.
Amen.
So if you join MyBookie now, they'll double your first deposit in your account.
You kidding?
I'm not kidding.
MyBookie.ag.
MyBookie.ag. Right?
MyBookie.ag.
Use promo code NOBS to activate that doubling offer. Promo code NOBS. Got it?
Man, I'm glad I come here today.
You play, you win, you get paid. Yeah.
No BS.
No doubt about it. All right, let's
I forgot what we were talking about.
The frontline investigation on Flint. 2 years in the making. It aired Monday, I believe.
It aired Tuesday, September 10th.
Yeah, it's now Friday. So it's unbelievable. We all know about Flint and the lead, right? But this group of reporters, one of which I know pretty well, hung out there, and they did something that isn't about the lead. It's about the Legionnaires' disease. And officially 12 people have died. But through their findings through these years, it could be 80, it could be 110. We still don't have a full accounting. So I want to play a little from the... What's going on there?
Joey.
Hey. What? What's going on?
I got to find the frontline thing.
Oh. Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did.
Yeah, but you're sitting there waving, and I'm going to... Let's roll it.
He's trying to be discreet, Charlie.
He's like flopping like a chicken over there. And who's this?
That's Jen, I believe, not her twin.
Who's she?
I don't know. She's
taking pictures.
What are you doing?
Drew said there was going to be a pretty lady coming down here taking pictures.
That's true.
They must have heard the councilman was here.
Step in here. Say hello to Mr. Mays. Would you please?
How you doing? She is a nice, pretty lady.
Yeah.
I'm 61. You younger than me, and I still can see how pretty you.
I love your gorgeous smile.
Hey.
What about the voice? What about the voice?
That's right in there, too.
See, Eric, you come down here, and you're looking for, you know, female friend. He just made a female friend.
Don't do it,
I'm not saying they made all your dreams come
true.
You're
going to tank
the lower level.
I've met this lady. And some no male friends.
Yeah, you know, and then you can call, you know, mybookie.ag and get that account rolling.
Mike can afford dinner on our salary. We can't.
And D. Hall at hallfg.com.
Some money out of his house. Oh, yeah.
See, I'm looking at it. I got a shot. Mike,
ready with his Bob?
At Coney Island.
Okay, pipe down, everybody. Okay, listen. Just listen to this introduction. To Flint's deadly water from the frontline investigations.
There is nothing more valuable than water. And Michigan is blessed to be surrounded by more fresh water than anywhere else on the planet.
They're calling it the dawn of a new era. Miles of pipeline transporting fresh water to three counties and two cities, but officials say it's...
The idea was to turn all that water into money.
A new pipeline could bring economic opportunity, could create regional cooperation, and it could be, you know, an affordable, healthy source of water for our city long term.
The proposed pipeline was supposed to carry low-cost, high-quality water from Lake Huron to businesses and homes throughout eastern Michigan, including the city of Flint.
The $274 million project should be completed in early 2016.
And it was a way for this community to take advantage of the natural resources that it's surrounded by. And that could give our region a competitive advantage.
Instead, the pipeline set in motion a series of events that led to an unprecedented public health crisis in Flint.
It's not safe to drink the water in Flint, Michigan.
The exposure of thousands of children to lead-tainted water would become a national outrage.
Water has been poisoned with lead for months.
I think about this every single day, and I still try to figure out what I could have seen or done or asked, you know, differently.
Nearly 1,000 homes still have dangerous levels of lead in the water.
But I just didn't ever imagine that there would be a failure at every level of government with something as basic as the safety of drinking water.
And overshadowed by the lead poisoning was another problem with the water.
Most people outside of Flint look at the lead issue. That's the main issue. But the killer has been Legionnaires, and people don't know that.
Two more deaths have been linked to the Legionnaires' disease outbreak.
That was the one that I think they tried to hide the most. That's the one I still don't think that they want people outside of Flint.
It's an excellent cut.
Wow.
Excellent out there. Thanks for that. So, what are we talking about here, Mr. Mays?
Well, think about it, Charlie. If they could tell the nation and the world at the time that corrosion control wasn't put in the water and that lead pipes was, the lead was leaching into the water from the inside of the pipe as the water passes through dissolving and coming out. We seen brown water, and we said from the onset, we don't know the term trihaloethamines. We didn't know about lead. All we knew that germs, nasty stuff, and bacteria was coming. So we never believed it was just lead. We believed it was all kind of stuff. People were breaking out with rashes and hair loss. You seen the girl's legs, Jasmine McBride states, 6-7 houses down the street from me. My mom died. Respiratory issues. So that documentary was excellent in order to try to give people a glimmer of all the germs, bacteria, and other things that was traveling through those pipes with no corrosion control.
And it's important to say what Legionella is. It's a bacteria. Legionnaires is the disease. It's carried in water, and it's when it's mist, when it gets misty and you inhale it, it causes things like pneumonia, right? And then it leads to heart failure.
It's airborne. You take a shower and you enjoy the shower.
It's waterborne air, airborne water droplets, but they exist in the water.
And that's where I need you at, Charlie, because I'm learning this stuff. I didn't have to learn as much as Forrest Gump had to learn about shrimp, and I still don't know it.
I remember telling you about it in the beginning of this, before these filmmakers came to town, and I was there, and I was like, wait a minute, because they never told anybody this. This came out after the lead, and I was there.
We was in my office. You had me in my office. I can show you clips where we were trying to call health officials because we knew something was going on.
Yeah,
and they
wasn't reporting. Just did it on speakerphone, and it was just me sitting there, and you like trying to get through to people, and nobody from the city, the county, or the state would even take your call.
And you were with a big news organization, and you was trying to help give us credibility. That's why I'm here today. I don't travel and come and do shows with people unless I respect them. I respect you because even before this Frontline special, you can attest that we were trying to talk about disease.
Well, you know what, brother? Thank you for that. And I make a promise, you know, I mean, stories to me aren't just stories. I'll stick with you. You know what I mean? Through the, if it's going to take 4 or 5 years, I'm gonna stay with you.
How long have it took for 9/11? Have all of that, we at the anniversary, you talked about it at the top of the hour, have all of those claims and things been settled? Do we know? Have infrastructure been repaired 18 years later? We 5 years out. Do y'all know?
Well, they built the Freedom Tower. There is a fund for, you know, first responders who've gotten sick. They paid for widows and their families. They've been, you know, engendered some money.
They just signed into law, though, the Victims Compensation Fund.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 18 years, really? It took that long? But, yeah, I guess it did.
How many years for Katrina do we know?
Well, 2005 was that? I think so.
How have that fared so far?
Well, half-assed at least.
Well, they rebuilt New Orleans.
But the Ninth Ward's kind of half-cleared out.
Kind of.
It's empty.
So the Flint water crisis has been 5 years. We got another good 10 years to go.
I don't know, dude, because, again, in this film, I don't want to really make this about politics, but in this film, the community is seen, the filmmakers seem to take the position that starting over with Dana Nessel and Hamoud, the, you know, point person on this, Fadwa Hamoud, that it's just justice delayed is just no justice.
Well, see, you like to keep the politics out of it, Charlie, but I'm political. This derives...
Oh, no, I like the politics, but, you know, I just want to talk about the... We don't lose sight of the victims and what's happening and what we can do for them, but... Politics
the remedy comes through politics. The self-made,
nicely said.
The self-man-made disaster came from politics. You know, I argue that when emergency managers was put in Democratic strongholds across the state, Benn Harbor, Detroit, Pontiac, Highland Park, and Flint, it was some political moves being made for control of water and wealth. And then when folks got caught, then politically, people said, we can help you, and we voted for governor, attorney general, and others, and we didn't know politically people in positions would make decisions to stop charges of people who had been bound over, get rid of prosecutors rather than keep them on the same team.
Let me drop that in. Hold on, Lizzie, because, okay, yes, that's very well said. Let me clue in the listener. Dana Nessel, when she was a candidate, before she got to see page one of any discovery, says, I'm getting rid of the prosecution team. We should bring it back in. So two people in Snyder's cabinet, this was getting up there. They were bound over after 11 months of preliminary exam, which usually takes a day.
And $34 million a lawyer money.
They're bound over for involuntary manslaughter charges. Why? Because it's the Legionnaire's disease. They didn't tell anybody. They knew there was an outbreak. They contacted the federal government. The county knew. They hush-hushed it. That's the allegation. The judge found it to be very credible. Even used the word corrupt. He did. Now, that head honcho in terms of health was Nick Lyon. They just kicked the charges out. With the caveat, we can always bring him back. Do we have that clip? You got the second one, Joe? Okay, so let me set it up. When they found out there was Legionnaires, when Snyder finally admits it or, quote-unquote, finds out about it.
How many people had died already?
Well, so even today.
We don't know to this
The official
day,
number is 12. Through this documentary, it could be as high as 100.
Right.
And they found three times as many people in this time died of pneumonia. Right? You never tested for Legionnaires. So I know Flood was talking about exhuming people and.
He was, yeah.
Testing for him. He was on.
What about the residual impact of this, Charlie? I mean, the things that you don't know, generational, you know, or gestational things that continue to pass on, people that were pregnant and gave birth to children or, you know, I mean, this could last for generations.
Well, again, let's get an accounting of what was happening instead of let's start over. That's, you know, you didn't have to start over. You could have had a concurrent and parallel investigation as you continued and had these people go to trial. You say you found a server. Fine. That'd be like finding the OJ knife in the middle of the trial. Hey, we found the knife.
That's
you introduce it as evidence.
Yeah, you can amend stuff and add to it.
You're a lawyer as well.
Well, I'm not a lawyer. I've been acting as a lawyer as much as I stay in a fight, you know.
Speaking of lawyers and fighting, we got that one coming up too. But, okay, here's the state government impanels a group of scientists to start checking this out. They want to hurry up. They're not giving them permission to test the filters for Legionella, right? And the scientists are saying, hey, it's going to get to June, and this shit's going to start breeding again, okay? So that's the setup. These are the scientists talking.
Scientists say they met with Nick Lyon to urge him to step up surveillance for Legionnaires' cases.
I remember my colleague telling him that If he didn't do that, you know, people could die. Unfortunately, Nick Lyon's response was that, well, they have to die of something.
I was flabbergasted, and I didn't say anything right then, although it was a situation where you're just in shock as a result of him saying that, the director of the health department.
Nick Lyon declined to be interviewed. In a letter, his attorney said Director Lyon did not make that crass remark. He said the team's work was one of Lyon's top priorities and blamed any delays on the scientists.
Unbelievable.
And we're gonna toss that case and maybe come back to it, Eric? How do you feel?
Charlie, you know what was happening at the time, back in whatever year we researched. We got it documented. You and I was in my office calling certain officials. We knew what was going on before people would talk about it. And so it's so appalling because I can remember getting a call from my mom, and she had the respiratory issues, and I didn't have a clue that seven houses down the street, Jasmine McBride was dying of Legionnaires, and they asked me, did I want to do an autopsy on my mom? And I said no, and I still might say no to this day. We won't know of all of what was connected, and you know, people was not documenting death certificates properly. They would say pneumonia, but they wasn't checking for Legionnaires.
Well, why would they? That's not something you check for.
Not normally.
Because the fucking government didn't tell you when they knew. This is one of the biggest outbreaks of Legionnaires in the history of the United States of America. And they knew. And so where are we?
Didn't tell anybody.
And I believe there's some other disease and germ things that came through there. I don't want us to do Legionnaires and pneumonia like we did lead. I want to send the word out because I'm old school. I'm germs and bacteria. It was stuff flowing and people were having medical issues and effects. And so whatever we know, we do, in my opinion, know this. The criminal prosecutions, in my opinion, would help the civil litigation. And so the civil litigation needs to happen. And I'm watching Dana Nessel's office and a new attorney, Democratic Attorney General, handle both of these, and I hope they hear what we're alluding to and saying.
Well, make me some news. I mean, you hope? What do you make of this administration here so far?
They haven't asked me some specific questions yet, and I'm a legislator. I've been in the forefront. I've not had a one-on-one about them about this subject matter, and I'm thinking that that's interesting because I've had investigators in my office. I've talked to big shots, and one of them talk to me yet.
Same here, man. Right over here. Like I think we know what we're talking about, right? They also didn't talk to Andy Arena, the former head of the FBI, who was the chief investigator. So I did call you. I know you're all listening, Ms. Nessel, Ms. Hamoud. You've been invited on. You face something real here. It's not a joke down here. Now, you told me we're gonna be quiet. I called them. They said we're going to be quiet. We're going to gather. And we'll talk to everybody at once. I saw them on Frontline. And the Frontline people are no joke. But that was a big empty nothing.
Well,
answer specifically.
When they were on Frontline, that's because they had initiated a meeting at UAW Local 659 to come in and explain why they were dropping charges and what they may have time to do. I represent 10,000 people in a city of about 90-some thousand. We had waited for them to come in and dialogue with us. When I pulled into that UAW Local 659, the first instruction they gave, and I was very disappointed, I almost went off and got arrested. No elected official can address us and ask questions.
Get the fuck on.
Couldn't ask any questions.
Get the fuck on.
And we know the most about it.
Right.
We represent people. We'd interviewed with investigators.
You said something that I don't know if anybody kind of picked up on it, but it was
I just picked up on that.
This was a little while ago. It was kind of disappointing because you referenced that this was a Democratic administration.
That is correct.
And that you would expect. But the reality is that regardless of the political affiliation, that people's lives are on the line. And the livelihood of a community rests on the decisions that are being made by elected officials, regardless of which party.
That is correct.
And let me show you politics here. Nestle's spokeswoman, right, was a PR handler, big shot up there, who tweeted out, you go on my Twitter page, Charlie the Duff, she tweeted out back then that Nick Lyons being charged was overkill. What'd he say?
Really?
Yeah, he didn't tell anybody. It's a fact. He knew. Nobody was told about Legionnaires, right?
And
it's
knew.
Alleged
and
by scientists that you said people got to die somehow, and you're putting that shit out, and you're dodging, you're shucking and jiving and dropping charges, and you're not even in office saying you're going to start over? Well, why? Where's the credibility in Lansing?
Well, I know the people in Flint.
Come on!
The Democratic stronghold. Even me, I mean, we kind of like on hold saying, well, they Democrats, it's going to work itself out, trust and believe. But now keep in mind, you are 100% right. It should have nothing to do with the Republican and Democratic persuasion.
See, that's why I...
Because we're talking about people.
That's why I never, I don't want any political label. I never belong to a party. I'm an I. I'm just an independent. I'll vote for both. I'll vote for third party. I just can't get down with it. Because in the end, it's always about self-preservation. It's about the party. It's not about the people.
That's true.
Well, look at the road thing you mentioned, Charlie. I thought that she was going to come in and have support for the roads. I've been a little preoccupied. I don't know the dynamics of why this road funding failed or not failed. That's what she campaigned on. You got a Republican-dominated legislature. That's the purse strings. But then she's got leverage. Let's see how she's able to maneuver.
Dude, she's from the country club. Her daddy's the head of Blue Cross. That's not working, people. See, if you're a Democrat, you say, we're going to tax the companies first because we gave them huge tax cuts. So we're not going to tax them. We're going to roll back the giveaway. They also get all the subsidies and the abatements, and some years big companies don't pay anything to the state. I paid more 1 year than GM did. Okay, so that's how a Democrat would, and then make the Republicans come and take it out of working people's pocket and share the load. She didn't do that.
Charlie, they tell me that y'all mayor got influence in that politics in Lansing.
The mayor don't got no... You mean Duggan?
Yeah.
Duggan got short little coattails, dude. He got short little coattails. And he's at war with Whitmer, and nobody down here, not even the...
Telling that story.
Not even the House, minority caucus of the Democrats supported Whitmer. Well, they're all at war with each other.
I came down here and sit in on a hearing with Bob Carmack, and I believe that they messing with him because he been messing with
Duggan. Oh, they're definitely messing with
him. I don't believe that he did too much wrong with the deed and the transfer. They issued him a
Let's not get down a rabbit hole. Let's talk about another Democratic politician close to your heart, Mayor Karen Weaver, and her right-hand Rasputin.
The mayor of the city of Flint.
Who did you?
Karen Weaver.
Yeah, and who's her right-hand man, the Rasputin of Flint?
Aoni Gilchrist.
Now, you see, what's going on in Flint is all our listeners
Rich
know.
Was Rich Baird's man, too.
Yeah. All our listeners know this. There's allegations of bid rigging, corruption in terms of the money that came to Flint to help it, in terms of the pipes and the reconstruction. There's where the credit card receipts on the city credit card out of City Hall. Nobody even seems to get that. Blah, 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 blah. There's a lot. Oh, by the way. Wink, 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 wink. I heard they got sealed indictments up there.
I hope my name ain't in none, but I'm here
it
to
ain't, tell it's
you.
Not, it's not what I'm hearing. I'm not gonna blow up, but it's related to the after-the-fact, the contracts to get those pipes in.
Well, them contracts, what happened when they put...
Well, let me make that clear. I got that from only one, but again... Just like the skyscraper, like the roads, we like to tell you what we know. We're working on it.
And we'll see what
very well-placed source that there's sealed indictments on it.
Man, and we're in the middle of an election, so we've seen some UAW things.
Well, hold on. We're going down
two
this road.
Days before.
So you subpoenaed Aoni Gilchrist, the right-hand Rasputin, the guy making $500,000 a year to bring on a foundational contract to bring business to
25,000, not 500.
380,000, right?
Well, it's a total grant from the Kellogg Foundation, but he's actually making about $125,000.
Okay, you got a little $125,000 side job bringing business to Flint. That a lot of it was already there. Is that right?
Well, what he does, he's the chief advisor for the mayor. I subpoenaed him up because people were saying they didn't want to come to council and talk. I can only vote on good information.
So you subpoenaed him because you want to talk about those contracts and everything going on.
Yeah,
because
it had been some contracts opened and rebid and all kind of about $12 million worth, and I don't think some of that.
And it ain't looking good up there. So now Mr. Gilchrist won't answer the questions. The lawyer refuses to do it. Mr. Mays tells him to leave. The guy comes back, and let's play. Do we have that, Bob?
Which one?
Yeah. Let's play a little bit of that. This was last week?
Yeah, I mean, my job is to do investigative hearings with subpoenas and get to the bottom of stuff. I had subpoenaed Rich Barrett and Snyder, and somebody put a plug on that.
What's the name of this lawyer, Mr. Gilchrist's lawyer?
That's my friend, Ken Scott.
Oh, now this is how friends treat each other in Flint.
You should do that in your office, not
God, Flint is like a reporter's wet dream, man.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'm trying to protect the guy.
Go ahead.
Madam Chair, let me say this. That looked like something that was staged. And I'm here to tell you this. I'm no Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott, you're out of order. You can move and leave. You said you were gone. I'm asking you to do, but you ain't going to stand in the middle. Point of order. You out of order, Mr. Scott, and your business is over. You don't need to talk to me.
Okay.
You had your chance to talk to me. Why are you walking up here on me? Get on back away.
Councilman Mays.
On what?
You know this is inappropriate.
What?
We are taking a meeting.
Their nose to nose.
Good for you.
You're out of order. Get the hell away from me. Get the hell away from me. You won't crack me across my head. And I'm going to tell you what. I want this sent to the police. You ain't cracking me across my head. Well, you ain't going to threaten nobody in no public meeting because your man don't want to answer an easy question. I'm going to make a promise to you. You're not going to interrupt this meeting threatening no elected official with no physical violence. I don't care what kind of suit you wear.
Councilman Mays.
I don't
Councilman
care what
Mays.
Kind of suit you
Councilman
wear.
Councilman Mays,
you're way out of order.
Asking you
and
to
you're making
down.
Your client look bad.
Wow.
Well, my
nice.
Cover
I
been,
love Flint.
My cover's been blown. Y'all heard my radio voice. Now y'all hear me working
you
back
were a real
in Flint.
Flintstone that day, huh?
Man, yabba-dabba-doo. But that's just not on that issue. That's on most issues. I'm passionate about the work.
There's no doubt about
as you
that.
You should be. As that, you should
that,
be.
That was clowny. He left. He walked back in. He walked right up to your nose.
Hey,
all
Charlie,
you wanted the question answered.
Charlie, you know they can't Google Councilman Mays on their phone. Their phone will start smoking and blow up. When you met me, I was just getting out of jail for 28 days. They had tethers on my leg. I mean, I'm that guy. I'm passionate and I'll fight. And sometimes you don't care. I was an activist. I was a civil rights activist, a elected UAW official before I was a councilman. I don't care if I'm a councilman today or tomorrow. I'm going to just act a certain way and speak for what's right.
So what drives you, Councilman Mays? I mean, you've done all those things. What's that North Star that keeps you going? I mean, you've been in jail. You keep getting pushed back. You see a lot of the things that you're working on not really panning out. What keeps you going?
What drives me is my drive to win. You know, I was in the dorm with Magic Johnson. I'm a Michigan State Spartan. I was a walk-on in football behind Kurt Gibson. My degree is political science pre-law. We come from a group of champions. My job is to take to a political championship. I thought it was a good strategy to declare the emergency. I know where it came from. I spoke on it. So I think we're doing well, and I think we have similar issues like other cities, but the strategy and the things you do to highlight them and get it fixed. So what drives me is winning. I want to fix some stuff.
Nicely said. Wow. Flint's not doing well. The mayor was running on the fact that crime was down year over year. But then I just went through the statistics. It turns out there were about 700 violent crimes they didn't list that they just dumped back into the statistics. Violent crime's up. Homicide is up. Solving them is not up. There's no money. You don't got any police. You cannot get any justice on the water. Who the hell would drink the water? Unemployment's terrible. They're taking all the nice assets. getting rid of them. Well, what's going well in Flint?
You know, Charlie, I told him if I was had total control, we've got a $16 to $20 million fund balance. I would take $5 or $6 of that $1 million right now, yesterday, last year, and I would have built a bottled water factory, tapping in, drawing the money from the KWA, where you got 14 million gallons of that newly, freshly built pipeline just sitting there. And then I would not only distribute the water all across the world, Nestle's is making a killing, but I would distribute it through Flint people and others, network marketing like Amway and Rich, you know, and I would show people how you can take an economic model and help people of the city. And that's just one project, a common sense project for the times. So it's a lot we can do. But if you can't get a group of leaders thinking and working with like minds to actually do something, then all we can do is just continue to sit here and talk on the radio and make things happen. I really appreciate you inviting me, and I'm glad that I met you and so many others through the Flint water crisis.
Are you running for mayor? Will you run for mayor?
I might have to run for the border at the rate that it's going. And I say that in all, you know, with a sense of humor. I have ran for mayor before. At one point, I was the only person on the ballot for mayor in the city of Flint. And if you know the history of it, Governor Snyder and Lieutenant Governor Kelly, we found emails say we got to stop this guy. And they put folks back on the ballot with me. And then I ended up in jail.
Getting the drunk driving, driving down the wrong way on the...
Yeah, and I don't even drink like that and was charged with all kind of stuff. And I defended myself and got 4 not guilties.
He
and
did.
This is the record.
He did, because he was on last time and he said that...
I mean, people
can be
scandalous.
He said the
they can be.
He told the jury, tell them about the breathalyzer. Real quick.
Yeah, real quick. She said she had been doing breathalyzers for 15 years. It was calibrated right. You have to clear out the mouth of jawbreaker gums. And
wait, what did you blow? What did you blow?
0.08.
Okay, so right on the
yeah, at
right at the level.
0.79, you legal. Okay. And so she says, so if we didn't do it correctly and clear the mouth out, then it could have been up or down 0.03. So they say, Councilman Mays, any cross-examination? I say, yes, ma'am. You repeated that if you didn't do it right, it could be up or down 0.03. I said, if it go down, that would be a 0.77, and I wouldn't be here today. She said, yeah. I pulled my false teeth out and said, you didn't clear my mouth of jawbreakers, gum, or teeth. And so, sort of, I got a not guilty on the...
Like Charlie said, you're a lawyer, too.
And what did you say in court?
I said in closing arguments,
did you take
them
out?
If the teeth fit, you must acquit. I got that. It worked. I said, if it worked for Johnny, it worked for me.
Did it work?
It worked. So I'm here to tell you, emergency managers was charging me falsely and wrong. They was issuing orders.
She wanted to keep it quiet.
Yeah, when to speak and when I could be in my office. I ignored it under the threat of they could remove me from office if I didn't follow the order. I bet you I'm the only one in the state of Michigan had my own emergency manager order and can show it to you.
I want everybody to remember, though.
Unbelievable.
Look, Flint's Deadly Water. It's on the front line, you know, on Xfinity. It's on demand. It's really excellent. It got really no attention around here, and that's what I just believe the media's quit on it. It's just too hard for them. Not going to do it. But speaking of media, do you know our 59-year-old intern, Chicken Joe?
No, I don't.
Very famous, Chicken Joe. I'll show you a picture of him.
It's fantastic.
Joe, you on the line?
Yeah, what's happening, man?
Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Where's the story this week?
Well, I'm listening to your tail end of your conversation with your esteemed guest from Flint.
Yeah. Where's your story? Where's the story?
I think he's awesome.
Yeah, where's the...
Story?
Yeah.
The story is I got stuck on this job installing 40 cameras in an 80,000 square feet building.
Where's our dropper?
And they lied to me and told me it would be a two-day job.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I'm on the third week.
Just play it, Bob. Let's see.
Killing me.
So what are you doing there? What do you mean, like, you know?
Running wire
and mounting
cameras. I bet
you if you just
put
Joel, he won't even notice. What do you mean? You're running what?
installing security cameras throughout this huge building. But see, it's a long story. You don't want to hear.
All right, listen, I got it.
That is true, Joe. Thank you,
Joe. I got to ask you this. I got a text the other day. All right, remember when you showed up in the chicken outfit as Chicken Joe to the Coney dog eating contest?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many dogs did you eat?
I think I only got six of them down, but
and you were like cheating, trying to put them on other people's platter, like you ate them.
Right. I was hoping Channel 7's camera would get some of that. I thought it was funny. I just thought it was funny.
Here's what I heard though. So like when you went back to the parking garage, you went to the parking garage.
Oh, you know my buddy Dave that was filming, he was videoing the whole thing for
me. And you went up to the parking garage. And you went up to the
Dave job. Ended up scoring with some chick in the bathroom of the Coney Island.
I like this guy. I like this guy. I want to hang out with this chick.
It was crazy, man. He was talking to this really hot-looking girl
Joe.
Out in the audience.
Hey, give me some, Bob.
What is this?
Joe, listen to me. Joe. The firefighters told me that as you were getting into your car in the parking garage, you shit the chicken suit.
No, not at all.
Dude, they got pictures of you. You shit the chicken suit.
No.
Don't you lie to me, Joe.
That was your point.
Did you shit the chicken suit?
When they drove away, Zydeck was driving one of the fire engines, and I yelled, Zydeck! And he looked at me. I forget what he said.
Joe, did you shit the chicken suit? They saw you taking it off.
I was up there getting out of the chicken suit.
Yeah, and you told me you shit your pants.
No, that didn't happen. These guys are lying, man. They're trying to get a rise out of you.
Yeah, but Joe, that's what you told me. Wait a minute. You told me it was a lie.
I want to congratulate you on another first term.
What? I want to. Joe, but you said they were lying when you were at the party wearing rubber fetish with a ball in your mouth getting spanked.
Who makes a video introduction to an audio podcast?
Dude, I cannot listen.
Maybe I don't want to.
All right, Joe, we'll get back to work, man. Next time, could you file the story sometime during the week?
He was busy, Charlie.
I know.
He was cleaning his pants.
I just promoted him, though, and he's missing deadlines again.
That's what people do.
All right, just say yes.
I got caught up in this job, man. I've been just
say yes.
I've been working on this job 16 to 20 hours a day trying to get this thing done, man. It's killing me. I mean, the pay's pretty good, but man.
Okay, Joe, listen, just get the story in on time. I've got a check for you. Come see me and get the fucking suit cleaned. Christ's sake.
Yeah.
All right, get him off.
Bye, Joe.
All right, see you, Joe.
All right, Joe.
All right, see you, everybody.
Oh, God.
He did. He shit the suit.
Sometimes you can't make a hasty decision on who you want.
All right, listen. I want to do one more thing. But before I do, I want to thank you, Eric, for being here.
Thanks for having me, Charlie. You really have been paying attention to us, and I hope you stay focused. We'll keep you posted, and we're going to go back and shake and move and continue to make stuff happen in the city of Flint.
I said last week I was going to come to Flint. I couldn't get that. I was really busy this week, so you came to us. I will, every week when I wake up, it's my intention to go to Flint. I hope it's Monday.
Well, let your fingers do the walking. We high tech now. We got FaceTime. We got
phones. I got
phones.
To be there, man. That's how
I had to
Karen,
be
are
here.
We going?
I had to be here. Sure. Good to see you.
Want to go Monday?
Well, let me check my schedule, but I'll go
Or Tuesday. We'll go Tuesday.
I got to see what I have on my calendar.
Monday or Tuesday?
Charlie, I will.
We're
going to
work separate stories. How about that?
Okay.
Want to do that?
Charlie, that's a team.
Monday or Tuesday?
This lady is something. She's a lovely lady.
You know who she is?
Look at how she's told me.
Dude, no, do you know who she is?
No,
she was Dave Bing's chief of staff.
You got to be kidding.
No, she's high politics.
I've met you before, and I interviewed you on the phone before for my former radio show.
You got to be kidding.
No, I'm not.
Ain't that something?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know.
She's great.
So if I ever become a mayor, she'd know how to handle it.
Right.
Princess Karen.
Nice meeting you, man.
Nice to see you again, sir.
All right.
Let me, I just want to say this. A dear friend of mine passed away this week. He's sort of cold as a bowling ball, but he's a great dude, interesting man. Robert Frank, the American artist whose photographs captured the lives of everyday people in 1950s America and changed the way photographs are made, is dead at the age of 94. His seminal photography book, The Americans, with an introduction by Beat Generation writer Jack Kerouac, captured the bone and marrow of post-war United States in 83 pictures, six of them from Detroit. Angry old white men, angry young black men, he-she's in New York City, preachers, the funeral of the Undertaker himself. They just changed the way photographs looked. They radically changed the art form. He's been called the Manet of the new photography. He also designed the cover of the Rolling Stones album, Exile on Main Street, the one with the collage.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Your best record. Mick Jagger liked the work so much he invited Frank to follow the band on tour to film a documentary. What Frank came up with is legendary, and you've never seen it. It's called Cocksucker Blues. The film was so raw, the band successfully sued Robert to block its release. It was my good fortune to have known Robert, to travel with him to China, and to write about his life and times. I will miss him. This is for you, Robert. Remember to love each other.